It's good to be back here this afternoon. It's been a blessed day in the Lord. I ask for the Lord to be with us a little bit longer. Last week, we talked about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to continue with those thoughts here again this afternoon. I want to talk a little bit about as we come to a point in our life, as we come to the end of the road, if you want to say, or something that we can look forward to and not be in despair and not be in much sorrow about. You know, Paul said, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. To die is gain. How is that so? It's like the Christian, you know, paradox. Nobody wants to die. We're all ready to go, but nobody wants to die, right? So I want to just give us a little bit of glimmer, a little bit of hope as we approach the days ahead. You know, Paul told the church at Thessalonica, he said, but I would not have you to be ignorant. He didn't want them to be without knowledge. Paul always wanted the people he was writing to have some knowledge, to have some kind of grasp about the subject he was trying to talk about. And it's not, you know, I'm ignorant on a lot of things. You know, the kids bring home work that I did when I was in school. It seems like it's simple math, but I'm totally ignorant. I'm like, go ask your mom. I say, go ask your uncle, go ask your cousin who knows all about that stuff. But there are certain things I'm just ignorant about. And Paul, concerning the scriptures and concerning the resurrection, concerning death here in this life, he did not want them to be ignorant. You know, Paul's prayer for the church at Rome, he says in chapter 10, says, brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. And they're not talking about salvation or deliverance from hell to heaven. They need to be saved from ignorance and being ignorant on some things concerning their own righteousness and where the righteousness was. Well, where's all of our righteousness? It's in Jesus Christ. To die is to gain. He is our righteousness. And his prayer, his heart's desire and prayer to God that they may be saved. He says he bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They had a zeal of God. They did not have a zeal to God. See, when Paul was at Saul of Tarsus, he had a zeal to God, and he crucified the Christians. He took them to jail. He consented to their death. He had a zeal to God, but he didn't have a zeal of God until his, what? Until that road to Damascus when he put him in jail. God gave him a zeal that day of God, from God. That's what it means there. It's a zeal of or from God, who can only give you that zeal. A child of God ain't going to go to Christ. He's not going to receive Christ. He's not going to have any spiritual things until God has put that zeal in his heart, just like he did Paul on the road to Damascus. You know, when he went to Ananias, and, you know, there was a salvation right there that Ananias received that day. You know, when he's coming to him, he's like, well, this is Saul of Tarsus. You're telling me, you know, I need to bring him in? He's crucifying Christians. I bet Ananias would be ready to hit the road running that day. He's like, no, thank you. This is Saul of Tarsus. Like, we're on the same page here, aren't we? But he had an ignorance of the fact that God had dealt with him on the road to Damascus and gave him a zeal of God. He said, he prayeth. He's letting him know, I've given him that zeal, Ananias. You need to take him in. He's a praying man. He's a chosen vessel unto me. I've given him the zeal. So there was a salvation he received by not running him and listening to the Lord. Same kind of salvation we can receive when we listen to the Lord and listen to what he has to say. There's a salvation in that. There's a salvation from ignorance to the truth that we heard about this morning. The truth is very important. And there's a salvation in knowing the truth, understanding the truth, and walking in truth. So he bears him record, but it's not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. He says, back in 1 Thessalonica, he says, concerning them which are asleep. You know, when it talks about death, it's talking about sleep. God's children, the elect family, when they pass this scene of life, they go into what he calls sleep. Or he sleepeth. He says in Matthew chapter 9, he's talking about the ruler, the little girl who passed. They thought she was dead. And the Lord said, she sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And next thing you know, he raises her back. Only God has the power of the resurrection. There's salvation in that. that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. There's other ones that have no hope of the resurrection. I mean, it must be miserable. You know, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. There's a lot of things in this life. If you know the truth and know what's ahead of us, to die is gain. That's our hope. I mean, that's the best thing that's ever happened to a Christian or a child of God here in this world is death. That's the greatest day of their life. Because when that happens, you have gain. You no longer have to worry about sin. You never have to worry about the devil. You never have to worry about personal afflictions, sufferings. You never have to worry about any of those things. You never have to worry about that word doubt. Doubting whether you're a child of God or not. It comes across every child of God's heart at some point when they see the sinfulness of their nature. They come and say to themselves, am I really a child of God or not? Paul, he's not having to deal with that. It's great gain to be with Christ. He lived for Christ, and there's great gain in it, but to die is gain. He says he didn't want to be ignorant and to not sorrow. We're to mourn when people pass away. It's okay to mourn, but we're not to sorrow like others who have no hope and who have no hope in a better life. We have life here, but there's a better life. He calls it a gain. Gains in this world, everybody wants to gain, and to die is gain if we got Jesus. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we do. We preach Christ crucified, but we preach a resurrected Christ, a successful Savior. We do believe it. For if we believe, this ain't a question, this is a firm statement. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He is bringing the saints that pass this scene of life. You know, several years before my grandfather, my dad's dad, passed away, I remember very vividly saying, how am I going to deal with his passing? He was my best friend. I remember telling myself that. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I really don't know how I'm going to move forward. You know, I was ignorant of 1 Thessalonians, you know, being able to go to this scripture and how I was going to deal with his death. I remember vividly saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, there's going to be much sorrow. But if I believe that Christ died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, he's going to bring with him. I'm going to see him. It's not going to be, you know, life goes by so fast and goes by so fast. It seems like, you know, it just, the older you get, the faster it gets. I'm going to see him tomorrow the way this world's going. He's going to bring him with him. He's going to bring him with him. Those which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord. But you know, Old Testament is always the Lord said. The Lord said, my God said. For this we say confidently and boldly to you by the word of the Lord, the truth and nothing but the truth. This is what we got here is the truth. I love the truth. And you can, when you quote from the scripture and you try to comfort people on the passing of their life, and you come down to the end of the road, you say to them by the word of the Lord that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. We're not going to partake faster than they are. We're going to be all together. One's not going to be chosen to meet with him and to be with him and to be in his loving arms, his precious sheep. We're all going to be together. We're not going to prevent them which are already asleep in the grave. He says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he just closes it out so sweetly. He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You can comfort God's children, no matter where they're at in this life. If they're on the last day of their deathbed, he said to the thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Can you think of anything more comforting at that moment in time? Well, there's times before you died, you little children go here in this life, and you may be suffering from different things here in this world. Well, you can comfort one another with these words. He's going to descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. He's bringing them back. We're going to meet together. We're going to be together. We come to church. We're come together. There's nothing more comforting than to see you and to be with you and to comfort one another with the words from the word of God, from the word of truth. That's where you're going to receive comfort. And he's telling them, you're going to receive some comfort here during this time. You know, in Philippians chapter 1, he says, verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness and as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He looked forward to that time when he could be with the one that he worshiped so valiantly and so, you know, persistently here after his thing at Damascus. I mean, he wanted to be with Christ, and to die was going to be gains. He says, but if I live in the flesh, that is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. He loved and he cherished, and he had great comfort to the ones that he was around, to all the churches. He was willing to die. He could do all things through Christ who strengthened him. He was willing to be beaten. He was willing to do a lot of things, but he had a deep care for all those people that he could get the word out from the word of truth to comfort them during those last days when they would be persecuted, they would be sought after. He says, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to part. I read one writer said it's like being in a boat and anchored down with the people and had the winds that would carry him all the way to heaven. He was in a tight place. He was in a strait betwixt two. But he says, and to be with Christ, which is far better, is great gain. It's far better to be with him. No more worries, no more suffering, no more tears, no more heartache, no more lawyers. Sorry, I had to get that in there. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and what? And joy of faith. He had a joy. You know, Paul told Timothy, you know, he had a great concern for Timothy and some instructions on him on his days ahead. And he told him, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on what? Eternal life. Lay hold of that. Look forward to that. It's something to look forward to. There's great gain to be with Christ, you know, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. He said, fight, Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And he goes on into 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, for I'm now ready to be offered. This is his last days, and he's instructing young Timothy in the faith. He's telling him to fight the good fight of faith. He says, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. You know, to die is gain. Here he is on the last bid, and he's still giving out comfort to young Timothy. He says, I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He could face death face to face, knowing it was better to be with the Lord, you know. But while he was here, he was going to live for Christ. He was going to be beneficial to God's people. He says, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, and I've kept the faith. And I exhort all of us here this afternoon in the days ahead, no matter where you're at on the pendulum of life circle and what you're going through and what you're facing, to fight the good fight of faith, you know, to finish your course and to keep the faith that was delivered to the saints. Oh, we heard it here this morning. We hear it every time you come and hear the gospel preached on Jesus Christ and him crucified, Jesus Christ and him being raised for our justification, Jesus Christ that sits on the right hand of God making intercession for his people. Fight the good fight, finish your course, keep that faith. That's a good faith to keep on your days ahead. Comfort one another with these words. He is risen. He is risen. What a great God we have. And what great instruction in the truth to give us comforting words on this life we have. So to live is Christ, but to die, I'm telling you, is gain. It's great gain. It's the Christian paradigm. Like I said, nobody wants to die. We try to do everything we can not to. I'm telling you, it's something we can look forward to. It's something that'll be great gain to every elect child of God. Thank you.